There's kind of a brain theme going in the show today, whether we're talking about being moral and not cheating on your taxes or the neurological impediments of going green. We are evolved to not be green, unfortunately. But there's also a pretty significant brain issue involved with sweets. When something is sweet, oh, it's so good. Sugar's grabbing. What are you putting in your coffee this morning? Are you having it black and pink? Do you know what that means? Kim Severson, one of the New York Times crack food writer team and our pals here on The Takeaway, joins us in the studio. And in honor, I guess it's fair to say, of the introduction of stevia, right?
That's
a
right.
Brand new sweetener, a so-called calorie-free natural sweetener. I hope you'll explain that to me. And let me taste a little bit here. Tastes sweet, tastes a little non-sugary. But it still motivates the question, why do we need another artificial sweetener? And with the proliferation of all these, and we'll talk about them in a moment, what is it that artificial sweeteners do to your tongue and brain that sugar doesn't? You've investigated this.
I have spent a lot of time tasting artificial sweeteners. And the whole point of an artificial sweetener, obviously, big thing for diabetics, is a big thing for people who are concerned about weight loss. The Atkins and the low-carb diet craze certainly did a lot for the artificial sweetener market. But now we're moving into natural. People want natural. There's always been some questions, most of them unfounded, but certainly there are a lot of questions around how safe artificial sweeteners are. I couldn't find anything that said that it's, you know, a terrible thing that's gonna give you a brain problems, although certainly if you go online, you'll find a lot of people who feel differently than that. But anyway, this feeling is that there's this natural thing called stevia. It's a plant that is native to South America, and a couple of large companies, Cargill and a few others, have figured out a way to extract a certain kind of sweetness from the leaf. You'll notice if you taste it that it has just a little bit of back taste on it.
This is actually the
stevia
envelope here.
Right. This is the Truvia. There are a couple more brands that are out. There's something called Purevia. That's the PepsiCo partnership. Coca-Cola and Cargill teamed up to make this particular thing. Stevia has been around as a dietary supplement, and certainly your friends who are health food nuts may have had some of it. The problem is it's got a kind of a really bad licorice menthol aftertaste, and it's a little slow to get sweet. So it was always kind of hard to control, and it was kind of awful. It was sold as a dietary supplement. The FDA wouldn't let it be sold as a food supplement. But now, as of December of 2008, you can have this in your food. So this product, they think, is really going to shake up what's a $1.2 billion artificial sweetener.
How about
business.
For cooking? Does it work for cooking as well?
They say this can work for cooking. I haven't cooked with it. I've certainly cooked with Splenda, which came out in the 90s. It was quite big in the 90s. And they said you could use it spoon for spoon. Now, I don't know if you've ever tasted something baked with Splenda. It's close, but it certainly tastes something that is not like sugar.
No, you can bake with it, but you can't like caramelize with Splenda.
No, you cannot. And although they do now have Splenda that's like a brown sugar, and they also have Splenda now with added fiber. So if you need that, it's amazing.
Maybe with calcium soon and
fluoride.
Who knows? Yeah.
Why aren't you working for a chemical company?
Here's the thing that is so fascinating about your article, and that is that there's a kind of identification, a sort of brand loyalty to artificial sweeteners that goes way beyond simply alternative to sugar. I mean, there are people who swear by Sweet and Low. Here's the little pink.
Right,
right. Sweet and Low. It's been around forever.
This is the oldest.
Why is that?
Well, you know, people really, it's very funny. They were trying to imitate sugar, and there's one taste receptor in your mouth that has that registers sugar. And they've been trying to replicate that with all these chemicals for a very long time, and they haven't been able to figure out how to do that. I'm afraid that if they do, people will be like, no, it tastes too much like sugar. I want my artificial sweetener, because we've trained an entire generation of people to have this taste.
So that's from the soft drinks, though, right? That's from all the diet
some
sodas.
Some of it. Certainly aspartame is in most of the diet sodas,
right,
and that's
right.
The Blue
also
Equal
Pack. Also called NutraSweet. Yeah.
You know,
right.
And NutraSweet, which used to be the same company, now they're split up. But that aspartame flavor, it's a really sharp, sweetness. It's got a specific flavor. People have gotten trained for that. You remember Just for the Taste of It, Diet Coke, 1980s ad campaign. That was a whole big thing. But there are some people who love Sweet and Low. You find somebody and you try to give them a Blue Pack and they want their Sweet and Low, and they're going to reject it.
At home, I now have to keep all separate ones for everybody.
Right.
That
and
comes
imagine
over.
The poor diner waitress who's got to have every packet in her apron, or the customers are going to be happy.
Now, here's another thing that's coming down the pike. I'm tasting this. It's called NutraSweet Cane.
Right.
Now, why would you have an artificial sweetener with sugar? That seems ridiculous.
Well, you are certainly behind the times, Mr. Hockenberry. The idea is to blend. The brave new future of sweeteners is blending. So you get a little bit of sugar to soften that kind of, you know, artificial flavor. It's not that many. This has, I think, 5 calories. And just to note, if something has less than 4 calories or less, it can still be called no calorie. It's a quirk of the FDA, as an aside thing.
Well, but isn't it a sugar – aren't we in sort of sugar mode now because of the economic situation? Isn't it part of the whole comfort food, go back to sugar, people want that sweetness?
Say what you told me this morning. Since the recession began, you have every night –
eaten French fries.
Comfort food.
I'm in total meatloaf, mashed potatoes, French fries mode.
But and that means sugar is in.
We are eating a lot of sugar. And actually, sugar's being, I wrote about this in the New York Times a few weeks ago, sugar is the new health food. It's seen as an alternative. You know, you can tell where the sugar's coming from. It's the cane, and then it's the sugar in your bowl. People are wanting shorter supply chains. They want healthier food. So sugar, pure cane sugar, it has this aura about it, this sort of green aura now compared to high fructose corn syrup.
Although
so
there are health implications on diabetes, which
sugar was considered heroin for many, you know, this idea that it's just fantastic how it's all switched now.
Well, you can go to our website and see Kim Severson's sugar substitute alternatives, and I count here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Also, stevia, right?
Correct. I'm just saying, make sure that you compare the Splenda to the new NutraSweet yellow, and let me know which
I will.
You think is better.
Quickly, that's Splenda. That NutraSweet cane, you can't beat sugar.
I'm liking it.
I vote for Splenda.
Artificial sweeteners, the culture, the brain science, the sweetness of it all. Kim Severson, New York Times food writer. Thanks so much.
Thanks.